I'd like to look with you tonight in John's Gospel in chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. And I'm sure that most of you won't hardly have to turn to this verse because you'll likely know it off by heart, but I'm going to ask you to turn to it anyway, because even if you do know it off by heart, it's always good to take a look at it and to read it right from the printed page of the Word of God, John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I suppose, you know, you could about as easy describe a sunset to a blind person as I could describe to you the wonders of John 3:16. But that's my challenge, and that's my job, that's my task tonight. And I would like to try, with the help of God, to try to talk to you about this verse. Different nights that are past, our comments have merged and have traversed this verse on occasion. And there seems to be a reference to this at different times. And so it was coming before my mind today. You know, sometimes we don't know who's going to be in the meeting. And of course, obviously, we don't know the individuals that are here tonight. We don't know what your individual need is. We don't know your background. We don't know your beliefs. We don't know your opinions. We don't know whether you're saved or whether you're lost. We don't know whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. We don't know what particular hang-ups you have with this message, whatever encumbrances or difficulties you might have. But you see, friend, tonight, that's why it's kind of difficult for us to know sometimes what part of the message, just to know what kind of an angle, what kind of an attack, what kind of an approach to take to this message, so that there might be something stated tonight, not to hurt you, not to be an opposition to you, because we're not speaking tonight to try to antagonize anyone, and we're not here to try to be confrontational with you, but we are trying to not preach at you so much as we are trying to preach for you. And so, it is an exercise in faith. Not just so much a leap in the dark, but it is emerging and a moving forward in a gospel meeting with a message before us that actually embraces far more than our little minds can comprehend. And it actually attends to the need of people in this meeting that we have perhaps never even met before in our lives. But we go forward in this meeting tonight with this confidence that there is a God in heaven that is interested in you as an individual. That there is a God in heaven that reads you like you would read the back of your hand. That there is a God tonight that is interested and intent on seeing you reached and rescued or saved for all eternity. Because there is no greater blessing will ever come across your path than the blessing of God's great salvation. And so God knows your heart tonight. God knows your hangout. God knows where you're at. God knows why you're not saved. Maybe you don't know. God knows why you're not saved. Maybe you don't know that. God knows why you haven't as yet trusted His Son as your Savior. We don't know why that is. Sometimes we're trying to second guess it. We're trying to figure it out. Sometimes we would love nothing better than to be able to get inside your head and figure out what you're thinking and why you're thinking what you're thinking and just where your situation and your problem really is. But I hope tonight that if there is someone here in this meeting and you're not saved, that whatever it is, that is standing between you and God's salvation, that by the help of God and by the power of God, that is going to be eliminated and put to the side, and that you are going to make one beeline for that open gate, for that open door of God's salvation. And I'll tell you what's behind it all. You know what is behind it all? This little verse we have just read tonight. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know what it is? You know what this verse is like? This verse is kind of like the city of Vancouver. You know, since coming out here, I'm kind of struck by the fact that if you're going to go anywhere, you need a little bit of time, and you definitely need a map if you're like us that hardly knows our way around, and sometimes you can get lost with a map. But I guess you're I'm struck with how widespread, how strung out, how stressed out the area is, and I guess it kind of reminds me of this verse. Because really what it's doing is when we come to John 3:16, it's like we come downtown to the message of the gospel. Because this message has sometimes been called the metropolis in which all the highways of the gospel message converge. I would like to tell you tonight that it is equally so the point from which all travelers to heaven must take their cue. I would like to remind you that this is in the language of another metaphor. One writer has called it the constellation of the Redeemer. In the firmament of divine revelation, every main word is like a star-studded galaxy of meaning that's orbiting and blazing in a universe of truth. Even the little word soul is a word that is charged with import of astronomical proportions. God so loved the world tonight. As I was thinking of this verse, it came to me that it's almost like, if you like, a little prism that's hung in the window of Scripture, and it seems to be refracting the sunshine of God's love so that we can ponder the full spectrum of all of God's display of grace. Just like the white light from the sunshine as it appears to our eye would traverse and go right inside of a little prism, and therefore its rays would be bent, and you would see the beautiful rainbow-like colors that would come out the other side. So in this verse, we get a little window in which we can get a little glimpse of the wonderful rainbow of God's eternal plan of salvation for fallen man. I think you are of all men to be most pitied tonight. If you find yourself acquainted with this verse, and you're still on the road to hell, God so loved the world. You know, there's I guess we could call it 10 main words that are found in this verse. And so we've got, and son, if you like, that's deity. That's talking about God. We've got the words loved, and we've got the word gave. We've got the words world, and whosoever. We've got the words believest, and hast. And we've got the words finally, life or perish. That sums up the words. That sums up this verse. That's the nuts and bolts. That's the main components, the main parts. If you like, that's the drivetrain of this wonderful verse of the gospel in John 3:16. I'm going to start off tonight with God, because that's where it all begins, doesn't it? Just like our Bible begins with God, creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So when it comes to salvation, it begins with God. Did you know, friend, you're not the person that saves. You're the person that needs saving. That's the statement that is so obvious, it hardly needs to be stated. And yet, I want to tell you, friend, before you get saved, you're so blind that you need the obvious stated for you. Because sometimes you don't pick up on the obvious. But I want to tell you tonight, it is God, who is a just God and a Savior, who says in the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So it's God. But it's not just God, it's God and the Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now you know, I don't know whether or not the translators intended it. You could maybe call it an accident, so-called, of translation. Wherein and whereas, whereby this verse was so translated from the Greek words that it just so happens to end up in our verse. I think God maybe superintended it here, because central to this verse, as all children know, the verse is still here, is the one that you need to come to tonight. It's the only one you're going to get to heaven through. And that's the Son. Don't we sing that? Huh? 25 words in John 3:16. No greater verse has ever been seen. 12 about God, and 12 about me. Son in the center, who died on the tree. That's what we're trying to get to tonight. The heart of the message of the gospel is really the heart of God pulled out. This is the gospel of the heart of God. This is the gospel of God's heart. It's, if you like, you can put your finger on this verse and you can feel the heart throb, the heart pulse, the heartbeat of the Almighty. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Son. You get it? Son. The Lord Jesus. Central to this verse. Central to the gospel. Central to the moment of salvation in your life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who alone can save. That's why the Bible says, in summary, as the Son has life. What do you got tonight? You ever come to Christ? Do you have the Son tonight? He that has the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So it tells me then that it's the giver and it's the gift.
and it tells me of the great originator of the message of the gospel. You can read a lot of the Bible for a lot of times, for a long time, and for a lot of different times, and it's amazing what you can overlook, or what you don't notice. And I read this verse for years. You know, everybody knows John 3:16. You know, so it's no big deal, right? John 3:16. I mean, I'm sure that as we read it through tonight, likely the most of us here would have to admit that it really didn't create any shockwaves in our mind. We didn't really go, wow. How about for you, Sarah? We get so case-hardened to the gospel message. It becomes so routine. You know, I guess that's the difference between before I got saved and when I got saved. You know, all my life I knew about Jesus died on the cross. All my life I knew about the gospel message. I guess the best way I can illustrate it to you is kind of like this. Yes. Supposing, you know, you and I were on the deck of a ship, and the sun is shining, and we're cruising along, and we're enjoying the seascape, and we're looking around, and we're enjoying the... I mean, I used to be on a cruise, you know? But here we are, and you come up to me, and you say, hey, Chad, you see that job? See that ring over there tied to the rail over there? You know what that's for? You know, I say, well, of course. I'm not dumb. You know. You know how that works?
Yes.
Think it does work? Well, of course. Why do you think they've got it there? You know? But look at it. On I go. On deck that ship. And really, I can't, you know, walk over there and study and stare at that life ring. I don't spend a lot of time looking at it, and, you know, shaking my head or touching it. Really? It doesn't make a big deal of difference in my life from day to day on the deck of that ship. But all of a sudden, turn the tide. All of a sudden, there's a storm at sea. All of a sudden, that ship has gone down. And supposing I'm over there in the water, and I'm fighting for my very life, and I don't know how to swim, and I'm fast losing strength, and I'm about to go down. And over there, a few feet away, all of a sudden, you hold up the life ring and you say, hey, Chad! What do you think of this? Do I say, no, it's a life ring, you know? See what happens? And you toss that thing across to me, and as fast as I know how, without any further ado, I make one beeline, and I get a dying, drowning man's grasp upon that life ring, and I cling to it because it's my only means of salvation from going to the bottom. You know what happened the night I got saved? Same thing basically that happened to everybody here that got saved. You know what it was? It was just all old hat. It was just so many words. It was just a historical Christ. It got to the point where it was nearly boredom city to come to a gospel meeting. But there came a time in that person's life, and in my life, when I discovered that I was going down, and I was about to face eternity without Christ, and all that was before me was the dizzy, open jaws of a bottomless abyss of an eternal hell, where you are headed tonight, if you are not saved. And all of a sudden, John 3:16 became a whole new verse to me. And, you know, the night I got saved, I didn't get a verse. But the truth of the gospel message reached my heart. And alive is filled with despair, and I had no denial in my mind that I was going to hell. And, well, I remember I had got to the point where I'd even, you know, hold my Bible, and I had tossed it aside. And I laid in the bed, and for the first time in my life, I tried to resign myself that I was going to actually go to hell. Have you ever gone to that point yet before? And, you know, as I lay there on the bed, I started to talk to God. I told him, look at, I have tried to get saved. I have heard about other people getting saved. I have talked to these people that are saved. And I have prayed. And I have read every verse I can possibly think of. And I still can't get saved. Well, it just seems like you don't want to save me. So, there it is. I guess I'm simply going to have to. Terrible thing to be lost. You know what getting lost is like? You know why it's so tough? It's like walking up to a man that's drowning and saying to him, don't bother struggling because, you know, you can't save yourself anyway. It's that instinct for survival. It might be pride, I don't know what it is, but it's anything and everything that gets in your way and causes you to have some glimmer of hope, some kind of an optimism in your heart that somehow when life is finished and forever fled and gone, somehow you're going to get it.
And I want to be here tonight to tell you kindly,
but bluntly, that you're dreaming. And you're in for the greatest nightmare of your entire experience. You know, right there, it just occurred to me, well, you know, Rick, you don't have to go to hell because that's just why the Lord Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't some special voice. I didn't get some tingly feeling up and down my back. I didn't get some special warm feeling. I didn't see any special image at the end of the bed. But you know what it was? Same thing as a man drowning in the water. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God held up the life ring. He tossed it to me. And I just simply took it to myself. And I rolled over and laid back on my bed. And for the first time, I wasn't trying to get saved anymore. And for the first time, I wasn't worried about getting saved anymore. And for the first time, I wasn't struggling. And I remember, I can still see the tiles in the ceiling. And you know, like the tiles up here. Just laying there, about 10:30 at night, and the boys were snoring in their beds beside me. I don't know if I would have said I was safe, but I knew I was safe. And so, I remember I got, well, you can go to bed now, you can go to sleep. Set it on my knees, and I remember I thanked God, forgiving the Lord Jesus to die for me. Never done that before in my life. You ever done that before? Greatest of all gifts? You've never even taken the gift, let alone thanked him for it. And how could you thank him if you've never taken it? Biggest insult you could add to the injury of the multiplicity of your sins against the Holy God is to turn around and through all of your entire life make this statement to God, thanks, but no thanks, not for me. And afterwards, I just got in bed and went to sleep. Ah, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. What a pillow to go to sleep on. What a wonderful thing to live with. Look at what you've missed out up until now. And all the time, God is patiently waiting to save you. And God is so patient. Always patient. And you know what he does? He just put that gift right there within reach, not beyond reach. Not tantalizing you. You know why you're not saved? It sure isn't God's fault. He's put that gift right within reach. He's put put it entirely at your disposal. And you know, he's done all these years, all this time. He has waited for you to reach out by faith. So they take the gift, thank the giver. You know why he's done that? Well, the God that creates hell, I suppose, knows what it's going to be like for someone to go there. But I'll tell you what this verse says why he did it. It says, because God so loved the world. God has loved you. Now look, that's a pretty cheap word, isn't it? I mean, people can say, you know, I love Pepsi. People can say, I love, you know, pizza. You know, they can say they love all kinds of things that it's really no big deal. But I want to tell you, it's a pretty big, important deal when it says that God so loved the world. You know, can I tell you tonight that many times this world says the world, the word love, when it actually is confusing it with the word lust. Greed. You know what lust does? Lust says this. I want from you all that I can get from you, no matter what it costs you. That's lust. That's greed. That's where our world is so confused when it talks about love. Love between a man and a woman. That's why people have been deceived by such professions of love. That's why there's broken hearts and broken homes. People don't understand what love is all about. You know what love says? Love says, I want to give you all that I can possibly bestow upon your needs, no matter what. Cost me. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want to tell you tonight, it was a pure love. I want to tell you that it was a love that was strong as death. It was a love that the many waters couldn't quench and the floods couldn't drown it. It was a love that was an everlasting love. It was a love that was beyond a brother's, because there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a verse in the Bible in Isaiah 49:15 that says these words, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee, saith the Lord. One of the most difficult things that I've ever tried to think on is what kind of a force is working in a woman's life that she will take that little newborn, that little infant, that little helpless, dependent creature that she has traveled and birthed to bring into the world, and she'll dump it off in a garbage bag in a dumpster and walk away. Yes, a woman. Yes, a mother. May forget that little child and not have compassion or love upon the son of her womb. Do you know the greatest expression of love between man to man? The highest note is when a man will lay down his life for his friend. But you and I were no friends of God. And God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So it's love beyond the brothers. It's love beyond the mothers. It's love beyond the love that's native to humankind. But this book tells me it's a causeless love. And it's interesting that in this book that tells me of the causeless love of God, it talks to me about the causeless hatred of man to God. they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. And we hated him without a cause. You say, I never hated God in my life. I don't know what you're talking about. You know that native to your heart of spirit is a rebellion and enmity and hatred against God. And it was manifested when representatively this world took God's lovely son and they nailed him to the tree. They murdered. And a murderer is a person that operates and acts principle of hate. You know why Jesus died at the cross? Because we hate God. And so do you, Jack. But you know why he died at the cross? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And there's a responsibility, and there's a simplicity to it all. Peter Miller was a man that happened to enjoy a friendship with George Washington during the days of the American Revolution. And in his hometown of Ephrata in Pennsylvania, there lived a man who was an inveterate enemy of the gospel. Peter Miller was a faithful preacher of the gospel, a truly saved man. And he bore along with this man's animosity and tactics and hatred. And in the midst of that war, there still followed a situation that that man was captured, and he was tried and convicted of treason, and he was sentenced to be hung. And upon hearing that news, Peter Miller immediately set out on foot in bad, inclement weather, and he walked 70 miles to Philadelphia, where he won an audience with George Washington. And sitting down across from George Washington, he began to plead for the life of Peter Miller. And George Washington just slowly shook his head. He said, I'm very sorry. He says, but Peter, I'm sorry. I cannot grant you the life of your friend. And Peter said, Michael Whitman is no friend of mine. He's the bitterest enemy that I've ever had. And with shock and near disbelief on his face, he said, your enemy? He said, that puts the matter in a totally different light. And he wrote him out a pardon for that man. And Peter Miller went back that day to Prada, 70 miles on foot, with a pardon in his hand, with a man walking beside him, taken right out from the very shadow of death, Michael Whitman, no longer his enemy, but now a friend completely amazed and confused. Now that's just a pretty little picture. I want to tell you tonight about a Savior that went all the way from heaven. And you know what we sing with the children? All the way to Calvary, he went, for me, he died to set me free. Would you be willing tonight to be escorted back home to heaven by the nail-pierced hand of a man that died for you, his bitterest enemy? God help you tonight to take the gift, to thank the giver, and join the growing number of those who are en route to heaven, completely confused, but completely thrilled with amazing grace. Thank God tonight for the Lord Jesus. It might just be the night in your life when you'll start thanking Him and never stop for all eternity, for surely He is worthy. God bless us, we shall pray. Our Father tonight, we do thank you that God so loved the world. We think of how that every one of us, by our sin and rebellion and attitudes, have qualified to be punished, to be banished from thy presence. And yet we think of sheer grace that is drawn near. We thank you for such kindness. We thank thee for the love of God. The wrath of God is something surely that would cause us to tremble. But, O God, we pray that the love of God will cause some sinner tonight to trust the man who died at the cross. We pray that thou wilt take us to our homes in safety. Help us that we might not be able to slough off this tremendous message of grace. We pray that thou wilt stir souls and cause them to appreciate the wonder of thy mercy to us. We pray that thou wilt speak to some heart tonight like never before and cause that they might yield, that they might comply with the call of the gospel, close in with this offer, embrace the Savior, enjoy Him for the first time in their life, and experience the good of thy great salvation. Bless us, we pray, until we meet again in thy will. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now again, we want to thank you for coming to the meeting tonight. And I would also like to express a special thanks for every one of our brethren and sisters that have been able to join us night by night. If not before, at least after the prayer meeting. And look at Eden, I know you have to travel and everything else, but we're in this for real. We're in this for eternity. And I would like to appeal to you that even if you do have to travel, maybe the few minutes that you might talk in the back, if you could just perhaps forego that. And carry on straight downstairs and pray. You don't have to wait till the end of the prayer meeting. Just leave as you're obligated to go, whatever your situation might be. But we're in a battle tonight. And it can only be one on our knees. And we need the help of God's people in prayer. So let's pray like never before, that souls might not miss out on the blessing. Remember the meetings that have been announced. Let's close tonight by singing 132. 132, there's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone. Whilst it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, whispers to Jesus, now come. The first two verses only, 132.